Welcome, everyone, to Ask the Pastor. I'm your host, Blake Gideon. Thank you for tuning in today. And as always, we're going to get right down to business. We have three questions for today. The first question is, can you explain Matthew 7:6? I read in one commentary that you shouldn't waste time on persons who are not open to hearing God's word. Does that mean that we're to give up on them? That somehow doesn't seem right. Maybe the next time we talk to them, they will be more open. I'd hate to give up on anyone. Well, first of all, thank you for your question today. And so let's go right to that passage. The passage in question is Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. And it says this: Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. So your question is does this mean that we should give up on people when they don't listen to us when we're sharing the gospel? Well, first of all, let's go back up to verses 7 through 5. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, Jesus is talking about not judging others. Okay, we're not to be judgmental towards someone. Then he seems to contradict himself in verse 6, where he says, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs. Well, it's not a contradiction. Jesus actually teaches that we are not to be condemning in our judgments. We're not to be judgmental, but that doesn't mean that we're not to have discernment. So Jesus says you're not to be judgmental, but you are to have discernment. And a support passage that goes along with this one that will help shed light on the meaning is Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. And this is what Jesus said: If anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. So Jesus says, listen, if you're sharing with somebody and they don't listen, then Jesus says, shake the dust off your feet. You move on. Same thing here in Matthew chapter 7. He says, do not take what is holy and throw it before dogs or throw it before swine, lest they trample underfoot what is shared. The most beautiful thing is the gospel. And sadly, you know, just like a nature of a pig, a pig does not see the beauty of things. And this passage is talking about people who you share the word with or share the gospel with, and they do not see the beauty of the gospel. They actually trample it underfoot. This is not talking about someone who has doubts or things like that. This is talking about someone who is antagonistic towards the gospel. He says, listen, if they're antagonistic, if they are just not willing to listen, he says, then dust your feet off and move on. Don't cast what is holy before dogs. Do not cast pearls before pigs. That's what Jesus says to do. He says you're not to be judgmental, but you are to be discerning. And if they don't want to hear the gospel, if they don't want to receive the gospel, or if they're antagonistic towards the gospel, he says, then you have every right to move on past that person. Now, does that mean that we give up on them? No. I mean, just because you stop sharing the gospel with someone doesn't mean you give up on them. It just means that when you're around them, you're not going to keep trying to win them to Jesus because you know they don't want to hear it. But if you witness to someone and you say, if you ever want to talk about this, then let me know, and leave that door open, then of course the Lord is able to work in their heart. And by doing that, we're not giving up on them. But if somebody is just hard-headed and hard-hearted and they don't want to hear what you have to say and they're disgusted by you because you keep sharing, then use discernment, right? You may be doing more harm than good, okay? So I hope that answers your question. I believe it does. Moving on to my second question for today. Biblically, can women be ordained? Can women be pastors, just not senior pastors? Well, of course, this is a topic of debate. I don't know why, because I believe it's clear in the scripture. For example, if we look in the Bible and we look at the qualifications for those who are serving as elders, for example, we have Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Here, Paul writing to Titus gives us the qualifications for a pastor. And let me just get there right quick. And this is what he says. Now, you listen to this for yourself. The Bible's clear. He says, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife. So an elder must be a husband, not a wife. He must be the husband, that's a male, of one wife. And then he says, and his children are believers. His children, not her children, his children. And not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant. It doesn't say she must not be arrogant. It says he must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He, not she, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also rebuke those who contradict it. So clearly, when we see the qualifications for an overseer, a pastor, clearly that office is reserved for a male. Okay, that's clear in Scripture. We also have another example in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul lists once again the qualifications for an overseer, an elder, a pastor. He says, therefore, or the saying is trustworthy, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. It doesn't say she desires a noble, it says he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, and he goes on and gives the same qualifications that he gave in Titus. So clearly, when we look at the Bible, women are not to be pastors. They are not to serve as elders. They're not to serve as overseers. That office, that position is reserved for a male. Therefore, women should not be ordained as pastors, nor should women pastor churches. Okay? When they do that, they're functioning outside the role for which God designed them. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of things that women can do. Women can preach, they can evangelize, they can do mission work, they can teach, they can do all these things, but they are not allowed by God to be ordained as pastors. Therefore, they are not, it is not biblical. I know it's not popular, but this is the Scripture. It is not biblical for a woman to pastor a church. And this is not just talking about senior pastor. This is talking about any pastor. Okay? The qualifications are clear. It is to be a male. Over and over again, he is used. He. I tried to inflect that in my voice as I was reading. So your question was, let me get back to it. Your question was, can women be ordained? No. Can women be pastors? No. Okay? The third question I have for today is, what is the purpose of ordination? Is it a biblical requirement for a pastor to be ordained? Great question. Well, the act of ordination is just the church's way of identifying that this person has been called by God, and they lay hands, and there's a sense of granting authority to that man on behalf of the church. So, is ordination biblical? Yes. For example, Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Titus 1, verse 5, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders. So the church had the responsibility of appointing elders, or i.e. ordaining elders. Okay, we have another example in Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Verses 2-4, it says this, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So there's this formal act of appointing them, ordaining them by the church through the laying on of hands. Okay. Another great example of this is Acts chapter 14. Acts 14, verse 23, which says, "And when they had appointed elders," talking about the church, "when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." So we clearly see there that God works through the church. So as God calls these men into pastoral ministry, he does it through the church. And therefore the church appoints, the church lays on hands. God works through the authority of the local New Testament church. So is ordaining biblical? Absolutely. Does that mean you need to have some type of formal ordination service? Well, it appears that they had some type of formality because the Bible said they prayed, they fasted, they laid on hands. And so there was some type of formal worship that went on in order to acknowledge and appoint these men to the role of a presbyteros, a bishop or an elder, an episcopos, an overseer, appointment, a pastor. And so, it is biblical to ordain somebody. Only men should be ordained as pastors. And so thank you for your questions today. Until we meet again, serve the King.